ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जाय मुदीरये। नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति अनैष्टिकी। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः। So today's verse is from 10th canto, 81st chapter, and the verse is 25th. The chapter is titled "The Lord Blesses Sudama Brahman." Patim agatam akarnya. पत्नी उद्धार सती संभव निश्चय क्राम गृहतत्वम् रूपाणि श्री अरिवाल्यात् पतिम् आगतम् अकर्ण्य पत्नी उद्धार साति संभव निश्चय कर्क्रमा घ्रात तूर्णम रूपाणि श्रीर रिवालयात् पतिम आगतम अकर्ण्य पत्नी उद्धार साति संभ्रमा निश्चय क्राम ग्रहात तूर्णम रूपिणी श्रीर अरिलावाल्यात् पतिम आगतम आकर्ण्य निश्चय क्राम श्रीवलिया पतिम आगतम आकर्ण्य साथी संभव निश्चय क्राम ग्रातूर्णम रूपणी श्री रिवालिया।
लेडीज माताजी
पतिम आगतम आकर्ण्य उधार साथी संभरा निष्काम गृहतूर्णम रूपणी श्री रिवालिया।
पतिम हर हस्बैंड आगतम कम अकर्ण्य हिरण्य पत्नी हिज वाइफ
Udharsha, jubilant, Ati, extremely, Tam Brahma, excited, Nishche Krama, she came out, Grahat, from the house, Tunam, quickly, Rupini, manifesting her personal form, Shrihi, the goddess of fortune, Eva, as if, Alayat, from her abode. Translation and purport by the followers of Prabhupada. When she heard that her husband had arrived, the Brahman's wife quickly came out of the house in a jubilant flurry. She resembled the goddess of fortune herself, emerging from her divine abode. Purport. Sri Sridhar Swami points out that Lord Sri Krishna had turned Sudama's house into a heavenly abode. Everyone living there now possessed beautiful bodies and attire appropriate to the residents of heaven. Sri Vishwat Chakravarti Thakur added this insight. The night before, Sudama's poor emaciated wife had been sleeping in rags under a crumbling roof. But when she woke up in the morning, she found herself and her house wonderfully changed. Only for a moment was she confused. Then she realized that this opulence was the Lord's gift to her husband, who must be on his way home. Thus she prepared to greet him. Om Ajnan Timrandhasya Jnananjana Shalakya Chakshur Militen Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Name Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swaya Padantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yudapad Gamlam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vidam Tam Jivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishaka Vidamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Deen Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapt Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrinda Vaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpataru Vyascha Kripasindhu Bhayevcha Patitanam Pavnebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Name Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advait Gadadha Shiva Sadi Gaur Bhaktvinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. So, first of all, I seek blessings of all the Vaishnavas present to empower me to speak something. So, this chapter forms part of a very famous From Rags to Riches story of Sudama Brahman. And that riches are not of this material world. That riches are like heavenly opulences brought to this earth for the pleasure of Sudama and his wife. So here we find in this shloka verse that the endeavor which Sudama wife made in sending Sudama to Dwarka actually has fructified. And this is because she was a chaste woman, and because of that power of chastity, Krishna fulfilled her desires. So, in order to see the greatness of Sudama's wife, actually, because according as I properly understood, she is the real hero of this story, because she is the inspiration for Sudama. So we will revisit this story in order to see how Sudama's wife served her husband, and what she desired has happened, because she wanted to serve her husband in a very nice way. So, as we all know, we have hardly, perhaps hearing this story for the last 1 month or so, Sudama was a very exalted Brahman. He was very learned in Vedic scriptures, peaceful, self-controlled. But he only depended on what came of his own accord. He never begged for anything, for his maintenance or subsistence. Because of this, they were in a very pitiable final condition. They were not having much to eat, not nice clothes to wear, and this made them hungry. Actually, they could not satisfy their hunger. In fact, like a chaste wife, which has been described in this previous verses, she was a pativrita, a chaste wife. She served her husband even neglecting her own needs. She remained hungry, but she tried to serve her husband, but still she was not able to satisfy her hunger. So she was passing through this crisis. So we here find the beauty and the strength of Vedic culture, particularly the sacred marriages, which is part of the Vedic culture. So in marriages which are held according to Vedic culture, it brings about a sacred and loving bondage between the two strangers. And both vow during the Saptpadi, before the sacred fire, their vows in taking responsibilities of their respective responsibilities for the family. And this sacred bondage is based on many important factors, like they should have trust, support, cooperation, sacrifice, appreciation, and loving service for each other. These are the necessary things which actually should happen in a married life, when it is according to Vedic culture, and this should be the mindset of both husband and wife. But there are three more things which they should have. Tolerance, forgiveness, and compassion is the essence of actually successful married life. So, but there are, these things are, has to be there, but they are in the material world, everybody has problems. Some difficulties come, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, it is a struggle for existence. So there are certain things which in spiritual life we should not overlook actually. And these are, in order to that, particularly in the association of devotees, these things should be there. In the atmosphere favorable for Krishna consciousness, one should not artificially neglect or reject physical, mental, emotional, and financial needs as merely material. Generally we see devotees become fanatics. We are just serving Krishna, we don't need anything. But these are the basic needs. And unless these needs, so-called bodily needs, are satisfied, I don't think it is possible to reach the goal. And therefore, we see that considering these various needs of the devotees on this platform, Hiruvananda Sarasvathi Maharaj has made several committees to deal with these problems, so that the devotees are peaceful, because these problems are taken care of and they can pursue their spiritual life in a nice way. So it follows that neglecting family life and giving importance to only spirituality is not actually intelligent thing to do, because ultimately it will result in frustration, and they will not go anywhere. So from this story we can find that all these aspects have been taken care of by Sudama's wife. She considered all these aspects, and therefore she is approaching her husband Sudama. So nowhere Sudama's wife name is mentioned, but I have been to Dwarka 4 or 5 years back for a few days, and I visited all the nearby places which were connected to Dwarka, and Sudama's residence was at Porbandar, and in that compound we went there, and Sudama's wife name was written as Sushila, and she was actually true to her name. She was peaceful, she was polite, she was simple, and always spoke in very sweet words. So in this situation, how Sudama's wife Sushila is contemplating how to solve this problem, because she wanted to serve her husband very nicely, and it was not possible under the conditions, because Sudama was not interested to beg. Only whatever comes on his own accord, he was satisfied with that. But his wife is not, because she could not serve her husband properly, and because of emaciated body, she thinks that it will not be possible for her husband to pursue her spiritual life very nicely. So she contemplated that Sudama has his old personal friend Krishna, Dwarkadhish, and he is very favorable to the Brahmins. Actually, he is the shelter for the Brahmins. Therefore, if he goes to Dwarkadhish, Krishna, then seeing his pitiable condition and suffering condition, he will definitely give him some abundant, some wealth, so that I can serve my husband very nicely. So this was her intention. So she took the initiative in the situation, and because she was certain that Krishna will definitely help. But she also knew that Sudama will not beg except for devotional service to the Lord, Prabhupada writes. This was Sudama's position. He will not beg for anything except devotional service to the Lord. So here it is written that trembling she went to her husband. Matlab, it shows that Krishna, she considered Sudama as very superior, and she was putting forward a proposal which was accordingly not according to his desire. So very politely, tremblingly, he approached Sudama and reminding him that he has a friend at Dwarka. And she put forward a proposal very expertly in such a way that whatever objection Sudama may have to her request, she actually answered all those questions. I will not go into the detail. Vishnu Thakur actually details those, that if Krishna says like this, then this is the reply. So she expertly put forward such a proposal that he could not refuse. He had to contemplate on that proposal, because she was continuously requesting him, sincerely pursuing him, persuading him, because not for herself, but for her husband's sake. So So it is said that behind every successful man there is a woman. And in this case we find that in order to make Sudama successful, she was the great inspiration and she persuaded him to do it. So therefore, this story actually is the story of Sudama's wife, because everything follows according to her inspiration. So she is the real root cause, because she planted the seed in the heart of her husband to go to Dwarka. Sudama's intention was to meet his beloved lord, to seek his audience. But at the same time, he was trying to fulfill the desire of his wife also. So here we find that Sudama is addressing his wife as Kalyani. In the previous shloka it has come, when he was about to leave, Kalyani. It has been translated as good wife. But actually it means that she was very auspicious. She has created auspiciousness in the house, therefore he is calling her Kalyani. Because he was aware of his good qualities and appreciating actually his good qualities by addressing her Kalyani. So this is how one actually appreciates the partner. So he asked that if I am going there, I should have some gifts for Krishna. And she did not find anything in her house. So she begged from houses, neighboring houses, and some chipped rice and gave it to her husband. So in this story, the root cause of the transformation is Sudama's wife Sushila. And the intermediate cause is Sudama, who is going to Dwarka to meet her beloved lord. So Sudama left the place for Dwarka with two things. Out of compassion for his wife, because she was so concerned about him, and he knew that her only purpose is that she should serve me in a nice way if we have abundant wealth. And secondly, he anchored to have the audience of the Lord. So we'll not go into much detail, but as he in his wretched condition and torn clothes and very dirty reached to Krishna, then Krishna, when saw her, he embraced him. And tears flow from his eyes out of love for him. And then he took him to his own bed, made him sit there, and wanted to wash his feet. So here we see two personalities in Sudama. One as a friend and one as a exalted Brahman. So as a friend, he embraced him. And as a learned Brahman, because Krishna is so respectful to the Brahmans, he actually giving all respect by washing his feet. So this is a story which is actually lot of people have put this story, because it's a very famous story in India. Jab aisa bolte hain, jab Bhagwan deta hai to chhappar phad kar deta hai. And when these things come, then this story comes in play. So people have made it very dramatic, because actually Sudama was in a very pitiable condition, suffering condition while he is there. So in one story one says that dekh Sudama pi din dasha karuna mein karuna kar roye, ki who is most compassionate. He became so emotionally driven ki unhone apne ashru se Sudama ke pair dho diye. This is an exaggeration, but this is an emotion. Perhaps this is what Krishna felt in his heart, seeing the condition. So he washed his feet and worshipped him with several for Finya with sweet words. And then they discussed about their old days. So this is second part of the story. So here Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says that Krishna was momentarily surprised, wondered how my devotee, such a dear devotee, is so poverty stricken. And then he says, because I have said in Bhagavad Gita, ananyas chintayam yajana paryupaste tesham satatyuktanam yokshyame vayamim, that who is ananyas, who is with one-minded attention, is worshipping me, I give whatever, I preserve what he have and give what he lacks, then why is he still poor, suffering? Because this opulence comes as a by-product of the result of bhakti, unalloyed bhakti to me. And then Vishwanath Thakur explains this, that there are two types of devotees. One is who is inimical to sense gratification. Matlab, he is averse to sense gratification. And the other type of devotee is who is neglecting sense gratification, indifferent to sense gratification. In the first case, when Sudama was of the mindset that I will not beg anything except that comes from my own accord and I will be completely averse to sense gratification, Krishna cannot force him to have opulences to enjoy. But for a person who is indifferent to sense gratification, that is means he is neither repelled or attracted to sense gratification, Krishna gives all opulence. And it is written here that, like Prahlad Maharaj, he has given all opulence because neither he attached or repelled from sense gratification. So this was the cause why he was so poor. It has been explained. So, but for Sudama, he had already received the greatest treasure by Krishna embracing him and such hospitality and such association, loving association of Krishna. He did not need anything else. But now we see the ultimate mercy of Krishna. So Krishna knew, because he is in the heart of everybody, Ishwar Sarvabhutani, Hriday Chandra Tishti, he knew that Sudama has brought some gift for me. So he asked for the gift. But since Sudama was very ashamed and hesitant, because those chipped rice were of very low quality, and considering the opulence of Krishna, it was not befitting to offer to him. So he was very ashamed. He was trying to hide it. But Krishna snatched that portly and he started eating. He ate the first palmful of chipped rice. And with great pleasure, he was satisfied. But when he wanted to take the second palmful of rice, Rukmani Devi stopped him. And she said that, you have already secured and bestowed to him the all the wealth of every kind in this world. Now don't take, because if you take another palm of rice, then I have to become the maid servant of Sudama, because you will give everything to him. So she stopped. But Krishna, he is so actually obliged to his devotees, he is willing to give everything to Krishna, to his devotees, even himself. So I have come across a very nice thought, that when Ram was there during the fight between Ram and Ravan, so at that time, when he was, Vibhishan was trying to give good advice to Ravan, and he did not hear, he kicked him. And Vibhishan came to the shelter of Ram with his four associates. And there were a lot of difference of opinion, but ultimately Ram actually gave him shelter and also told to him that I will give you, make you the king of Lanka. And then in the course of talks, then Ram told that even if Ravan comes, although he has stolen my wife, he has done such abominable act, even if he comes and takes shelter of me, forgiveness, I will forgive him. So there is a very nice thought about Krishna's glorification. That then somebody asked that already you have given Lanka to Vibhishan. Then what will happen to Ravan if you forgive him? So he told that I will give Ayodhya to Ravan. Then he asked, then what about Bharat? He is ruling there. I will, for Bharat, I will give my abode, spiritual abode to Bharat. Then what will happen to you? I am fully satisfied living in the heart of my devotees. So this is how some people try to glorify the Lord. Krishna is satisfied fully while living in the heart of Narottam Das Thakur says, Tumara hirde sada Govind Vishram. And Govind kahe Vaishnav mera pran. So this is the position of Krishna. He wants to give everything. But he was stopped by Rukmani. So when Sudama was departing the next day, he slept there very comfortably and he went. He did not ask for anything. But Krishna knew with what desire he has come to me. And therefore, he tried to fulfill the desire. He actually fulfilled the desire by taking that, already fulfilled the desire. And Sudama came back. He actually bade farewell to him in a very loving way. And Sudama was thinking that it is good that Krishna has not given me anything because I have become, even last Sunday, His Holiness Jayadrat Maharaj was telling, discussing that shloka, that even little Krishna has not given me. Because that would have made me puffed up and perhaps I will be deviated from my path. So but he was only remembering those moments, the deep treasure he got by Krishna's association and his embrace, when he embraced him, and hospitality. So here, we find now that Zanla region, it has been explained, I don't know where I have heard it, but it has been explained perhaps on that Sunday also it was talked about, that why Krishna gave such wealth to Sudama. Because Sudama was too attached to his poverty. He was too attached to his renunciation of sense gratification, which gave him little pride in his heart. And Krishna, we know, that cannot tolerate any pride. Therefore, he gave so much abundance wealth to him that his pride can be taken off. Actually, smashed, and he should be in proper mood. So when he reached there, as there in the shloka, this transformation, actually, Sudama came the previous day. He met Krishna, he stayed there overnight, he came next day morning, returned to the house. So the transformation took place in between the night, as has been explained here by Vishwanatha Sacharya Thakur, how things must have happened. She slept in rags and then in the morning she saw that everything is changed, it has become a heavenly place and she was in good clothes, she has regained her youth and beauty. And she is waiting for her husband. So we find that she saw her desires fulfilled. Both desires. That she has got opulence, which will be used for serving her husband. And as well as Sudama had the audience of Krishna, which is very dear to him. So we, in the future shlokas, 2-3 shlokas, I will continue because this is, I am encroaching on that, but story shows that when Sudama reached there, he was very astonished, where I have come, whether I have come to the right place, and then he surveyed and found this is actually the right place. What has happened? And he was, actually Krishna made him in the same wretched situation. He was actually in the same wretched condition, close everything, while his wife has already been transformed. Everything has been transformed. Because in his mind he is still not agreeing to the situation. So when the servants approached and shows that they understood that he is a real person and wanted to show respect to him, then he thought in his mind that actually it is Krishna's desire to give me so much. And therefore I must accept it for the pleasure of Krishna. Then this thought came in his mind, that it's Krishna's desire, and therefore I must accept it for the pleasure of Krishna, not my own pleasure. So this is the consciousness. Although so much problems is given, but the main thing is, he was enjoying it, but not attached to it. He was enjoying because if I enjoy these pleasures, these comforts, Krishna will be happy, because he has given me for this purpose. So when he thought about it, immediately he turned into a young and very beautiful person, bedecked with fine clothes and jewelry. And when his wife came, he looked like a goddess of fortune. He could not recognize her. He looked like wife of some demigod. But when the dasis told that actually she is your wife, then he could recognize, and he went there. So this is how this story goes. And we see many stories in our Shastra which shows the power of a chaste lady. This is actually the power of a chaste lady. Because of her sincere desire to serve her husband, Krishna fulfilled her desire. Similarly, there are many stories, like a story of Devahuti serving Karna Muni. She was a daughter of a Sambhu Manu, the emperor of the entire world. And she married her daughter to a very qualified person, not financially, but a very qualified saint, who actually, it is said that he did tapasya for 10,000 years. So when she was married, she was so beautiful. But after marriage, Kardamuni went into meditation for many, many years. And she was very, very sincerely serving him without caring for herself. And her body became emaciated. And when he came out of his meditation, he saw her and he was, that you did not care for yourself in serving me. And then she made in order to satisfy his wife, he made mentioned in the air, he made a mention. And with all the heavenly facilities and made her young and youthful, and they enjoyed for many, many years their family life. So there are examples of Ansuya, Sati Ansuya, who got such tremendous power that when Brahma Vishnu Mahesh came to test her and wanted that, and she actually received them, and it is the duty of her husband was not there, it was the duty of a wife to fulfill the desires of the that guest. And they asked that, you should receive us in a naked condition. So this was against the principle of chastity. And with her power of chastity, she made all the three into small babies and received them. Then there is story of Sitaji. When Ram was actually banished for 14 years exile, she wanted to come with Ram. But Ram tried to avoid her because he knew that is a very tender. She has not even stepped out of the palace. How she will be able to bear the hardship of the jungle, forest? But she was adamant. And when she saw that Ram is not willing, she has to spoken hard words, harsh words to him. And Subhadras Prabhu was telling that other day that she told Ram that you seems to be a female in the garb of clothes of a gents. If my father knew that you can't take care of me, he will not have married me with you. So these hard words she has to use so that she can be with her husband. Because in Vedic Sanskriti, patni sukh dukh ki saathi hoti hai. When I have been with you in your good days, I should be with you in the... So this is the beauty of the Vedic tradition. Then we have Gandhari. When she knew that Dhritarashtra is blind, she tried. And with that power, she got tremendous power because of that. And after Kurukshetra war, Krishna thought that if Pandav goes there and he opens her eyes, say they will burn to ashes because of power. So Krishna went there, consoled her, and then afterwards. So this is the power of chastity. Then we see here Rukmani Devi. When Narad Muni was visiting the different palaces, he went to the palace of, first went to the palace of Rukmani Devi. And what she saw, that Krishna is actually sitting on a swing and Rukmani Devi is fanning him. Actually, she is the principal queen of Krishna. She could have sat with Krishna and the dasis could have fanned them. But the mood of a chaste wife is that she wants to serve her husband. So instead of sitting with him and get the pleasure of company, he was actually getting more pleasure by serving her husband. And there is Satyavan Savitri. How with her chastity and perseverance she could take her husband back from the clutches of the Yamraj. So these are the various stories which actually glorify the chastity of the woman, the power they get out of chastity. And this is one of the stories which also depicts the same thing. And the same principles applied at that time apply also now. Those who are following Vedic culture, the same principle should apply between husband and wife. How they should deal with each other, how they should serve each other. So this, we have to understand this thing. So therefore, a wife is called Grahini, Graha Lakshmi, because she manages the house in such a way that everything is beautifully done in the house. So I have come across... Because she is the person who can make that environment, the atmosphere, the ambience in the house, which will make living in the house pleasurable and peaceful. So I've come across one or two things which I would like to share with you. Everybody knows that how to build a beautiful house. But only a few people know how to live beautifully in the house. And it is actually the duty of the wife, Grahini, to actually... by her own example, create that atmosphere, create that mentality in the people of loving service, of trust, of tolerance, so that everybody in the house is peaceful. And there is a very other quotation, Anek deep chahiye aarti sajane ke liye. सैकड़ों फूल चाहिए माला बनाने के लिए, हजारों बूंद चाहिए समुद्र बनाने के लिए, इन्योबिल, बट स्त्री अकेली ही काफी है घर को स्वर्ग बनाने के लिए. So this is the beauty of a wife according to Vedic culture, because she is the person who makes the house. She makes the house health, and she can make the house. So this is possible only when we adhere to this culture, Vedic culture. This is possible to make the houses like heaven or Vaikunth, as we say. And Vedic culture is the culture of respect for each other. So Maharaj once said in a lecture, I think it is a Prerna lecture, maybe a few years back, and he was telling during the course of lecture that behind every successful man there is a woman. I heard it from somebody, you must be knowing. And some students, they are very clever actually, they wanted to corner Maharaj on this point. And they asked Maharaj, but in material life, it can happen that behind every successful man, but what about you? Who is in your life? Who is that woman in your life? And Maharaj very sweetly said that behind my back, who is inspiring me is Radharani. Because she is the janani of bhakti. She is the mother of bhakti. And she is take pleasure by serving Krishna. This is only her pleasure. So this is my inspiration that I should serve like Radharani to Krishna so that I can become servant of Radharani. So this is how Maharaj actually explained it very beautifully, that Radharani is the person who gives us the bhakti. And she is my inspiration. She is behind me. So, but we see that this institution, sacred institution of marriage, is getting extinguished. Even Vedic culture is getting extinguished because of the Western influence. And the condition, as people foresee, that a day will come that people will not marry only. Actually, in many countries, I was told by Sachinanda that in Japan, for many decades, people are not marrying and there are no children, young children. So that, and when there are no young children and there are only old people, how the country will run? So they have to import people from outside to run the country because they don't have children. And similar situation is coming in India because of living partnership, contractual marriage. Much of this significance of sacred marriage is being lost because nobody wants to take responsibility. Marriage means responsibility. And people have become so selfish and about sense gratification that they don't want to take responsibility. They want only enjoyment. And therefore, the future seems to be quite bleak. So, I think in Hare Krishna movement at least, we are aware of the Vedic traditions. We are aware of the relationship between husband and wife. When they are married, they are being very nicely explained about their duties. But still, we find there are so many diversities in our community also. So, it is the need, actually, there are so many our devotees, couples are taking seminars throughout India and the world about grihastha life. But there is also a need, and there are also seminars who are of marriageable age to imbibe them those. So we have to actually, because of the ancestral influence, the mindset has changed. We have to reverse that mindset. That this tradition is so rich, and if you like to be happy in married life, you have to follow actually this tradition, both husband and wife, both boy and the girl. So there is a great responsibility on all of us to actually exhibit these qualities. And from my personal experience, I don't know whether we knew about the traditions, but these traditions have been imbibed from our old family traditions. And I've been married for more than 58 years, you know. And I think my wife is, as far as service is concerned, whatever is written about Sujama's wife, when I compare her, she is not less than in service to family, to husband, to children, sacrifice. And not only my own situation, but I see many, many devotees here who are actually in this, actually leading this family life on the Vedic traditions. And they are so happy. Their children are so cultured, happy. So we have to create an environment where we should actually try to respect this institution of marriage and the Vedic culture. So I stop here. I know that I am not a good speaker, and I just put forward my thoughts because I got this opportunity to glorify Sudama's wife. And Sudama's wife is nothing but a manifestation of the Vedic culture, of the sacred marriage relationship. And we should take inspiration, take inspiration from Sudama's wife and her desire to serve her husband, giving priority for that, even neglecting her own needs. Actually, it is said that woman has much more power of tolerance, patience, and sacrifice than men. It is so Krishna's arrangement made in such a way. And therefore we see that in the life that they are sacrificing more to keep the family together, to serve their husband. And that sacrifice is actually the jewel of the family life. I've seen in my own, then when she makes some delicious thing, she is satisfied in serving that everybody should eat, even if it is nothing is there for her. Because everybody is happy. She is happy. So this is the mood of the wife in Vedic culture. So I stop here. And if anybody has some comments or some questions. Hare Krishna. Granth Sahib Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Shri Prabhupada ki jai. Anant Koti Vaishnavamand ki jai.